You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Just a reminder, this is the show where kind of do what the title says. We lean local right into the community here in Greater Green Bay. And as I always mention, it's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on everywhere else. And God knows there's a lot going on everywhere else, nationally and statewide. But what we like to do here is take an hour and talk about what is going on here in Greater Green Bay and really lean into it. And I think one of the best ways to lean into an issue is to bring in the expert regarding that issue. And as you know, last week, we had Matt here from the Greater Green Bay Community Volunteer Foundation. And that was interesting, I thought, about all, you know, he manages 900 volunteers here in Greater Green Bay. And you know, he valued their hours of service at, you know, whatever, $27, $28. And you just look at the economic impact. But it was even more interesting, I thought, about the gratification that the volunteer gets out of it, as well as the recipient. You know, you talk about breaking leave program that's coming up, and how important it is that we need these people to read. And you saw the test scores that came out in the paper this week, and we could do better. I mean, there's just no question about it. And even when you compare us to other municipalities, it's, we could do better in the Green Bay area and in other municipalities as well of getting these proficiency reading test scores up. And one of the ways to do that is if we would volunteer more, get into the schools and read to the kids and have them read back to us. So that's important. And of course, you know, a few weeks ago when we had the people on from Suicide, I was just telling our guest before we came on the air here, some things about suicide, and it's real. It's real nationally, but it's real here in Green Bay. And I think we're doing a great job with that, and it's because we work together. And something else we're doing a great job with, and I know this firsthand, is what we do with the Chamber of Commerce. The Greater Green Bay Chamber of Commerce is their focus, like most chambers, is to help businesses grow and prosper. And there's a lot to running a business. I ran a business here in Green Bay back in the 90s. It was successful, and I worked hard. The employees worked really hard, but we wouldn't have been successful without the Chamber of Commerce. And I've said that many, many times in many talks I've given. One of the programs they had was the incubator, and that's where you have this great idea and all this ambition and no money. And what they did was they had this incubator where some businesses, we got together. We could rent space from the Chamber of Commerce. We could share a forklift. We could share a conference room. We had shared services, because when you start a business, you don't have the money to buy your own forklift or to have your own air conditioner, your own heater. And so we would share those services. And Lord, you know this, but many of those businesses in there went on to be millionaires. I was 1 million, you know, but those guys made millions. Those guys made millions. And it was so much fun back then. And I said that all the time, that we would have, and I gave talks even on the U.S. Conference of Mayors on what did you do? And I give the chamber a lot of credit. And Lori Radke ran the chamber here the last 12 or 14 years. 14 years. Mm-hmm. Very successfully, helped a lot of businesses. And I'm so glad you're here today. I'm excited about this interview. I'll stop talking and let you start talking. Just thank you for what you've done for Green Bay. I mean, we're a very successful city from a business standpoint. And I think a lot of the credit goes to the chamber and especially to you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming the president of the Green Bay Area Chamber. And then I want to talk to you a little bit more about the things that you've done to make it so great. So welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Thank you so much for the invitation. And wow, when we say 14 years, I kind of just have to pause for a little bit because it seems like a blink when I just walked in the door for the first time. And remember you reaching out, if it's not the first day, the second day, and talking about, you know, support and how we are better together and how we need to lift the community together. And really, when I look at 14 years of serving as the CEO and president, it was just better together. We had so many people stepping up and supporting, rolling up their sleeves and caring. And something really special about the greater Green Bay area is people lead with their heart and people commit to lifting the whole area. And so my journey was one of a ton of support. I wouldn't even know where to start when people say, you know, who do you want to thank? It's really everybody. Yeah. And when I think about the chamber in the 14 years, how we've evolved to focus on the greater Green Bay area, lifting businesses, looking at talent, looking at entrepreneurship, it really was an exciting journey.
So when you got here, though, what were some of the bigger challenges that you faced? I know some of them, but you tell me.
Jim saw behind the curtain, so
yeah,
wait a minute.
I did. So. I just want to say we were a little fragmented. You know, in terms of municipalities, I don't think we all got along, and I think you...
Yeah, I think that when I first started, there were some challenges. Part of the challenge was really defining what the chamber's role should be and right. needed to be. And with board leadership and a great team, really talked about convening and connecting and getting us all aligned in the same direction. I think a lot had to do with people open for communication and conversation about let's not look at just our own bottom line, but collectively how we can move the region forward. And part of that was bringing in TIP strategies to craft a strategy and a plan. And it had to be a plan that was inclusive, that include all municipalities and how we could work together and have one North Star and pull in the same direction. And I think that was a process, and it was a process of building trust and really appreciate everybody supporting, getting on the same wagon.
But how do you do that when, if you look at Green Bay, I bet a lot of people are like, you know, we're paper and cheese, we're a manufacturer, and yet you came in when there was a lot of high tech going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, maybe you should answer this, but they're slow to change around here, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want to change, but I'm not sure mm-hmm. it's easy to change things. I mean, to you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to get people to... Or did you think, like, how did you define what we were going to be? Because that's part of it, right? The chamber kind of leads the industry or leads the direction that they're going to go from a manufacturer, from a technology, or from a service standpoint. Like, how did you pick your lanes?
I think, you know, some people are uncomfortable with change or want it and don't know how to get there. So I think education is a big component of that. And so I think meeting people where they're at, I think dragging people doesn't work, telling people what they need to do. I think it's bringing in, from a tech perspective, bringing in experts and talking about how do you get there, what are baby steps. Some people were ready to leap. Some people needed more time. And so I think patience is certainly a blessing when you're dealing with a variety of individuals at different spots in their journey, whether they're leading a company or wanting to start up a company. So I think really meeting people where they're at and understanding not everybody likes change. I like change. I like to move fast. And so for me, as I aged, I understood that better, that mm-hmm. it was better to slow down. And just sometimes you have to really stop moving forward and listening to people's concerns and then trying to educate and address those concerns so they can, too, move forward.
I think one of the biggest challenges, and you hear this, and I think it's true here and everywhere, are educated employees. From welding to nursing, you know, we have a big healthcare industry here. Tell us some of the things you did in your last 14 years to get people more educated in the workforce.
I think understanding the chamber's lane, right? We don't do the education component. We have outstanding educational institutions here. And so I think our role was to make sure that we elevated, whether it was UWGB, whether it was NWTC, St. Norbert, Bellin College, just making sure they had a voice at the table. And I think the chamber was well suited for that with the Partners in Education Board, in which education and business came together on a regular basis and had discussions about workforce challenges and how to help close those gaps.
Tell us a little bit about what you did with the high schools and manufacturing. You actually put manufacturing in the high schools. And I thought that was a cool program.
We were a partner. So I think that when we were able to convene and you have your superintendents and you have teachers and counselors and then you have manufacturers at the table, and Franz has done a great job with the Manufacturing Alliance and understanding the need to educate students on manufacturing, what is it, all the technology that's involved in that now, again, in awareness of all those employment opportunities. We launched Your Inspiration, which is a career fair, too, and that gives businesses an opportunity to talk directly with students and let them know about the variety of opportunities that they have within their organization. We had a youth apprenticeship program, so I think there's a lot of different ways that it was a multi-pronged approach, and the biggest piece is making sure we support our educators and making sure that businesses are communicating how rapidly changing the careers are. We don't even know what's going to be needed in 3 or 4 years, so just making sure we keep a pulse on that from a career development perspective.
And I think one of the things, I think you did have a lot of fairs or partnerships, I guess is a better word for it, but I'd go to these schools and tell these kids, it's incredible how much more money you make if you just go to TC for 2 years or college for 4 years. I mean, you're talking another $1 million of income if you just get that degree. And I would tell these kids, and you know, I kind of learned that going to some of your seminars, but if you go to NWTC for a couple of years and learn how to just repair medical equipment, I mean, 2 years you get out and you're making, this is a while ago, you're making $22 an hour. I mean, that's $45,000 a year. Can you imagine being 20 years old making that kind of money?
I won't even say what I made in my first role. Right. And what's so special about, you know, even if you start at NWTC and you get their certificates, there's a lot of different options. You don't even have to go for 2 years, but we have an amazing streamline transferability. And so as people continue to grow with their career desires, those credits transfer to the four-year institution too. So it's seamless, and the partnership here between our educational institutions is something really, really special.
Yeah. The other thing I think what you did was it concerns me sometime when anybody, any business, any institution lives in a bubble. That's just not healthy. There's just so much knowledge out there. You brought in some pretty good speakers from Richard, Florida to but some of your events, the guy that took out Osama bin Laden, he was one of your speakers.
We did, the Navy SEAL, correct.
Mm-hmm. But that was more of a motivational, but you've brought in some great speakers here to mm-hmm. open our eyes to other things on education. And I want to talk when we come back about how you've even gone to like the whole new north. Like you've even gone from the Greater Green Bay Chamber of Commerce, and you brought it up on a level to connect even with the whole New North concept. And I think that's healthy, too, for us to be more than just Greater Green Bay. So
look forward to that.
I want to talk about how, and you were instrumental in that, because that's a relatively new program. I mean, it hasn't been around for 50 years like the Chamber. So
it's all about partnerships and collaboration.
Right. So we're going to talk about that when you come back. So we're here with Lori Radke. She is the outgoing president of the Greater Green Bay Chamber of Commerce. But and we're going to talk about the things that she's done, but more importantly, the groundwork you've laid for the next 14 years. We'll be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. My own drum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Life.
everybody. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and our special guest in-house is Lori Radke, who led the Chamber of Commerce here in Greater Green Bay for the past 14 years. And when you talk about, I mean, it's tough to grow a community and politically, there's just a lot of moving parts to it. And what the chamber does, a good chamber does, is brings those pieces together through different programs. She talked about PIE, which is the Partners in Education, and just getting our workforce ready. And plus, there's a lot of politics that you kind of lobby for, because there's certain things that can help grow your economy and some things that maybe can get in the way. And we're going to talk about some other partnerships we have with other organizations that can help us grow. But before we do, I just want to plug a couple of our sponsors, because we, you know, cost money to put these shows on. We love Civic Media because they allow us to do this, but we also got to pay people like our overpriced, I mean, like our great producer with Kyle. And we have some other people that make this work. And we have four great sponsors, but our lead sponsors, of course, is Nicolet Bank, who I think everybody knows Nicolet Bank. If you don't, you should. That's just a community-minded bank. I mean, they are really concerned about their customers, the community, their employees. They, besides giving so much back to Green Bay, and I can speak to that firsthand, what they do with homeless shelters, with the community events that go on here, the city deck, so many things. Very successful bank, right? I mean, they started in, 2000, 2001. They're over a $2 billion bank. They got 57 branches. And they really care about, you know, the personality of their business and how they're perceived. And they focus so much on their employees, and they do everything. I mean, they have obviously their personal wealth department, but they do business loans, mortgage loans, car loans, you name it. And just love that bank. I've known them for years, and obviously bank with them. And the other sponsor that we have that's been very good to us for since we came on the air is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And I don't know if you've been following the news, but they just moved into a new place out in De Pere on French Road. I took the tour. What is it? 80,000 square feet. And it's all windows. That is an incredible growth that they've had in that company. And they have the highest quality, and they have quality windows, but they also have quality installation. And you know, my house is well over 100 years old, and they have windows for everybody and everything. And they come out with their little laptop, and they show you different designs and the different types of windows that they have. They have everything under the sun, and they tell you how it's going to look in your home. And, you know, windows and doors, man, if you want to save, get your electricity bill down or keep the air conditioning in, that's what you want. And great company. They stand behind their products and just love them as a company here. And I'm sure they would speak as highly of the Chamber of Commerce as I do. There's just two great companies here, and I support them. And then, of course, Rumley's Jewelry. We love them. And if you have a pet, take it to Tailwaggers, because that's where Milton goes, and he loves it there. Anyway, back to the Chamber. So, Lori, you talk about the things that you've done with the local community. And I just want to touch on something near and dear to my heart, was the incubator. You have like really two incubators now, right? Don't you have one for manufacturing, one a little bit more? That's, you didn't have it when I was starting my business, but workspace?
We do, the Urban Hub, which is right downtown. So
right.
We've certainly maintained our role in the Startup Hub, and that's where your company launched out of, which is really exciting. It does have light manufacturer bays and office space, and we provide all those resources that you mentioned earlier. But we also opened up something right downtown, co-working space,
right.
And it's been really neat to see the activity in there, because you can rent space for a month, you can get a day pass, a variety to, again, meet where people are at. We might have people just in from out of town, and they can come just for a day or a week, so it's really cool.
And that's quite popular. I mean, everywhere.
It is. It's very popular. And we opened ours back, I think it might have been 2018. And I think just seeing them pop up everywhere, I don't think it's saturated. I think the need is pretty great. We've talked about people that were working remote and want to start coming back and being engaged and socialize a little bit more. So it's another outlet for individuals that work at their home, too. Yeah.
So these partnerships that you've made with the colleges and the high schools and with the local business and the organizations here, but talk about the partnerships like upstream. So like with the New North, bigger organizations that are above, not above, but like larger than the community of Green Bay. How is that working?
Yeah, it's really been great working with Barb Lemieux and her team. And it is upstream when we look at her footprint, her organization, or New North organization, and the 18 counties that they cover, and making sure that, you know, we're working and collaborating, not duplicating effort. Resources are limited. We're both nonprofits. And so our work really survives on a commitment and investment from the community. And so just doing our due diligence and making sure we can align our outcomes and our metrics together. And Barb really and her team stay at that 30,000-foot level. We come down to the programs and the deliveries and boots on the ground. But Barb and her whole team have been absolutely wonderful to work with.
So do we connect outside the United States? Do we have some connections out China, some of these growth areas, Africa that you read about? I mean, how are we staying plugged into, you know, you hear this 8.3 billion, we're the 0.3. I mean, how are we connected with the rest of the world?
We work through WEDC and
okay, that's
New North. And so we make sure that we stay through certain channels that have a direct line to make sure that, again, that we're targeted and using resources wisely.
Okay. Oh, that went quick. Hey, I want to come back. I want to talk about a little bit about your legacy, but I want to talk more about what you think we need to do next here in Green Bay, because we're a growing community, third largest city in the state. What do we need to do to keep competitive and keep this business climate going here in Green Bay? So we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about where we need to go next with the Green Bay Area Chamber of Commerce. We'll be right back.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We've had this great guest in, and I lost track of time in that last segment. Sorry, I was just like looking at you, talking to you, and all of a sudden the music, I'm like, what the hell is that noise? But yeah, we ran out of time. Hey, I got a few questions I want to ask you before we wrap up here. And you're so kind and gentle to people. And I've known you for many years when we worked together, even through some stuff that was, you know, difficult at times. But what advice do you want to give to your successor? And I know that you'll be very kind about it, but what would you say if you were like on the interview committee, and they're going to call you, they should call you and say, hey, here I am. What do you think I should do? You must have some thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's really important to listen. I know when I first started, really took time to listen to everyone. I mean, I listened to members, non-members, investors, not investors, people that had opinions and ideas on what we should or should not be doing. And I think take that all in consideration. And I think leading with your heart's really important, because people in Greater Green Bay care, and caring matters. It's a tough world out there right now. And I think the people matter, and don't forget about the people.
All right. Are there some opportunities you see out there for us? I mean, you hear about a lot of things, right? Different industries that are, you know, especially in the auto industry, electric cars, solar's always out there. There's some opportunities that you see ahead for Green Bay that you said that you think we should really lean into this, we should get into this?
I don't think there's one in particular. I think they're all important. Part of, you know, our health and prosperity, even like through COVID and downtimes, is really the diversity that we have in our industry sector. And I think continue to support manufacturing and, you know, all the technology they need. But I think that it would not be wise to focus on one industry. I think it's like a recipe. We need all the ingredients to be successful. And I think lifting them all is really important. And it sounds like a big task, but I think narrowing it down would not be healthy for our community.
And I think that's one of our biggest strengths, is how we are diversified.
Absolutely.
Because, boy, you read about cities that go under and, well, not go under, but I mean, that really take a hit, and it's because they got way too many eggs in one basket. And especially these smaller towns.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at Two Rivers, you know, some of these in, yeah, you really got to diversify. And we've done that. Healthcare is so strong here, yet as is manufacturing cheese and some other things.
That's why entrepreneurship is so important. And we have to make sure we invest in our ecosystem and, right. and lift all those ideas and creativity and continue to foster that.
And how would you rate the political climate when it comes to the chamber? Like, is there support out of Madison, and are Congress people pretty good? And
yeah, I think that there is support. It depends on the issue and the topic, just like, you know, anybody else. But I do feel that we've done a nice job communicating that we get both sides around the table so we can listen and learn. Again, it's that convening. And I think that's the role of the chamber.
Yeah. Lastly, you're young, very healthy. I'm assuming you got a few bucks in the bank. What's next?
Oh, that's a really great question, Jim. I appreciate you asking that. I'm really going to take just some time to be still and to think about what that next step might look like. I hope that I'm able to find a role where I can continue building relationships and serving this community that I've loved and invested in for the last 14 years.
So you're going to stick around?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
You can't get rid of me.
Okay, good. I mean, sometimes people, you know, they you know, I just want to go to Italy or they live in Italy. But no, you're sticking around.
I'm sticking around. My grandbaby's here and I plan on continuing to serve. However, I'm not sure what that looks like. So I'm praying about it and being still and we'll see what comes out of that.
Something to come out of that. If that's your approach, something good's going to come out of that. All right. You've been awesome.
Thank you,
my friend.
Love
having you here. You bet. All right. Well, we'll have you back on the show when you get an answer.
That sounds great.
All right, great.
Thanks,
all right, well,
Jim.
Thank you for being here. Lori Radke, president, or past president, I guess now, of the Green Bay Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for coming in, Lori.
Thank you.
All right, we want to welcome Vanessa Moran, who is the media chair for a great, great organization, Feed My Starving Children. And I just saw you last week at a fundraiser at St. Matt's with John Kelly and his orchestra, and very well attended and raised some money. But let's talk a little bit about the organization. Tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, it was great to see you. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, yeah.
Not only do you attend the events that fundraise for this pack, but you've actually physically packed the meals and put it.
Yeah.
So we appreciate everything you've done, and we love the way that you continue to help us spread the word about this amazing event. So it's Feed My Starving Children, the Green Bay Mobile Pack. And what Feed My Starving Children does is organizes and is the driving force behind mobile packs, which are held all over the nation. The largest one in Wisconsin is held right here in Green Bay. It's coming up the first week of October. And we hold it at Green Bay Community Church.
Great.
There are 13 different partner churches that all work together and form our partner board to make this pack happen. So even though the event the first week of October is held at Green Bay Community, you know, St. Matt's plays a big part. St. John's has other fundraisers. Right. We have all kinds of events happening at all of our different partner churches because to pack these meals, we have to pay for every grain of rice, all the veggie, the soy, the everything that goes into those life-saving mana packs. We purchase the raw food ingredients directly from Feed My Starving Children. They bring truckloads in, drop everything off, and then we as the volunteers come and actually do the work. We're a human assembly line.
And you get hundreds of people that do
thousands,
that.
Thousands. 3,000 people
in
4 days will converge upon Green Bay Community Church, about 300 to 400 per session.
Okay. And that's the 6th to the 9th. And do you still need some volunteers?
We really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
let's plug it.
Yeah. So you can go right to our website. You can find us on Facebook, Green Bay Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack. And you will find all of the information there with the links to sign up. The sign up slots fill very quickly. However, people in these last few days, weeks leading up to the pack will, you know, change their minds, find out, oh, my kid has a soccer game or whatever the case may be. So it's very, very dynamic. We ask people to keep checking back. Those slots fill and then slots open and they fill. But we want you there. And if you can't be there, there's still other ways to go ahead and participate through fundraising.
And I want people to really lean into this. This is it's a fun event to do. The people there are so friendly. It's organized chaos, but it is four people to a team, and this food goes to India, to Africa, goes all over the world.
Yeah,
and
it goes to some of the most remote locations in the world, and we're super proud of that. Where there's a need, this food goes, no matter how dangerous, no matter how dire.
So It's October 6th to the 9th. Give us that website again, Vanessa, because I just think I want people to get on there and go. You can go with your kids. You can go with your parents,
yeah,
with your friends.
So we have a really crazy URL that has numbers and letters all over it. But the best way to go ahead and find us, honestly, it's on Facebook. So the Feed My Starving Children Green Bay Mobile Pack. Right. And you'll see a photo of a couple of hundred volunteers as the cover page. But you touched on something really fun, organized chaos.
Well, you're very organized. I didn't mean to throw the chaos.
I love the chaos. It is loud.
Yeah.
There is music pumping. We like to say it's the most fun you'll ever have in a hairnet. And here's the other really great thing. We have volunteers as young as 5 that can come help out. And that is unheard of with organizations like this. Normally you have to be 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. But the sooner you start volunteering, the sooner it becomes a part of who you are. And kids as young as 5, we welcome them to come and join us. Your hands might be a little smaller and a little slower, but it doesn't matter. The concept is it's kids helping other kids. And we have jobs from everyone from 5 to 105. There's sit-down jobs. There's other things anyone can do. If you have a heart to serve, this is the place to be.
And I think the other thing that people get out of this, besides having fun packing the food, is, you know, that 10 minutes before when we sit down and you really educate us on where it goes and really how many kids die daily.
It's staggering. I shared it at the St. Mass.
You did.
I share it every time that I have these opportunities. So the sad reality is 6,200 children die each and every day due to hunger-related causes and illnesses. I think one of the stats shared during that concert that you were at was John Kelly had shared that in Green Bay would be wiped off the face of the map in just a matter of days.
Yep.
Wild.
So we got to do this. And, you know, we have hunger here in Green Bay. We need to address it. But, you know, when you look at, you know, the world and, you know, 8.3 billion people, we're the 0.3. I mean, there's a whole lot of people out there that need us and we need to step up and do something. And your leadership and your energy, which I think that's why they hired you. I mean, you're very smart too, I want to say, but this is a fun event and I just hope people get to the website. And I really want to get you on here to plug this a little bit because this is important. And you obviously enjoy this. You bring your daughter.
My children have volunteered every year. Just to clarify, I'm a volunteer. The entire board, we are all just volunteers. We do this out of the goodness of our heart and because we love the mission. I started this being a part of the Green Bay Mobile Pack with my students. Long, long ago, I actually brought my students to PAC as a field trip. And it just kind of snowballed from there. Just never left.
I believe that.
So he came and did it once and will continue to do it until I'm 105.
Yeah, long ways to go. Yeah, isn't that great? I bet you know, people do come back to this too, right? It's just one of those things that,
it's a yearly tradition for a lot of friends and family and a lot of businesses. I want to make sure we mention that. We have a ton of donor businesses, organizations that sponsor this and provide, we always ask people to give what they can at the event. Each person packs about $50 worth of meals. So please, please come to help, but also help us financially as well if you are able to, because we do have to fundraise. Like I said, every grain of rice is paid for, but our business sponsors, we can't thank them enough. They bring teams of people. Right. Lamar brought a big group. They donated those big electronic billboards and they brought a whole team to pack in the middle of the day. What a great team bonding and building experience.
I was going to say that that's nice for employees from different disciplines of the company to work together. And
absolutely,
what a charitable thing to do as well.
Yeah. You know? And they have fun.
And you say that you have to pay for that stuff as well.
Every grain of rice, all of it.
Four components, right, that go into the, and that serves, you make this little bag and heat seal it, and it serves a family of, or can be
about
a meal.
About four people. So it's rice, soy, a veggie, and a vitamin blend that's specially designed to help fight malnourishment. So the people behind all this work, Feed My Starving Children, they've done this for a long time, and they've engineered these meals for those specific reasons and purposes.
I remember last year I did it with John Mino, and he was pouring it in and forgot to put the bag underneath.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
That's kind of like, this is a waste and we need to. I got caught.
He was just so excited. It was just once. But and you know what? It happens. Trust me, we vacuum up that floor in that church between every single pack.
Right. And it goes back into the pack where it should.
Trust me, you will walk out of that pack room smelling like soy for a week. But it's worth it.
And did you also notice people look different with a hairnet?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just, yeah. It's like, that, I know you, yes.
Yep, anyway. We all look like those kitchen workers from back in the day. But you know what? Listen, the reason we do that, the lunchroom, yeah. The reason we do that, everything is FDA food safe.
Very sanitary. You have the washers where you wash your hands. And
we have to.
It's very
yes.
clean.
These meals are life-saving, but we also need to follow the proper guidelines and make sure that's
you do
safe.
A great job. And I just thank you, Vanessa Martin, for doing this. It's a great organization, and look forward to participating. I'll see you out there. I'm signed up, got my team ready. So, all right, October 6th to the 9th, and it's on Facebook, and we will definitely be there.
We'll see you soon.
We'll get more people. And if you can't make it, you can still go on Facebook and make a donation.
Lovely.
All right, thank you. All right, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrap it up here at Lean Local. So today is October 5th and a bye week. Kind of boring for you, right?
Yeah, just, you know, but I still like football, so I'll watch all of the games.
Oh, man. Get out. Okay, whatever. Hey, that tie game. I fell asleep.
Well, yeah, it was a 4-hour game.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's and this ended in a tie, which I think there should be rules like college football. Where they started the 20, and then first team and not score, obviously.
Okay. I just think that, why don't they just play regular football till, some of it's like baseball, right? Till it's over.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was already a 4-hour game, so I assume that they were just like, They used to do 2 overtimes, but now they only do 1.
Okay. Somebody's got to redo that contract. Anyway, I woke up and I was like, oh, tie. I'm glad they feel like they lost, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's good because I think that's what a tie is. Anyway, but today, a couple things going on. From 12 to 5, there's a fundraiser at Green Bay Distillery, and I hope people go to this. Green Bay Distillery, on Mike McCarthy Way. Get this. This is a sad story. I know the parents of this kid. This is what happened. Without warning, this Trenton Devas, he woke up with weakness and was unable to urinate. This just happened. He went to Belen Hospital, where he underwent multiple tests, including a spinal tap, MRI, CT scans, and more. His condition quickly worsened. I mean, think about this. The kid, like, what is going on here? A fever spiked to 108 on December 5th. He lost all movement sensation below his chest. He was airlifted to Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee. Specialists performed additional tests, discovered inflammation and lesions on his entire spinal cord. Anyway, this kid has this, I can't even pronounce these words, but he is from his chest down in a wheelchair. He's really trying to and determined to walk again. He's going through some aggressive treatment. So there's a big fundraiser for this kid. I mean, this poor kid, he's 20 years old, and he's just got this unbelievably rare disease that's been diagnosed. It's MOGAD. I can't even pronounce these words, but he's just working really hard. He's got a lot of medical bills. They're from Green Bay. He continues to face significant challenges with balance, with coordination, with heart rate regulation, bladder and bowel control, and no feeling from the chest down, like I said. He's 20 years old. Roger and Tracy DeVos are his, he's got a brother and sister and friend, all live here in Bellevue. So there's a big fundraiser for him at the Green Bay Distillery from 12 till 5 today. So get out there. It's going to be great. There's food. There's raffle prizes. And we got to help this kid because he needs the money and he also needs the support. He's going to be there. And my wife and I and some friends of ours are going out there. So there's this fundraiser, again, Green Bay Distillery. So stop out there today. Also, like we talked about earlier this week, to support Feed My Starving Children, that's October 6th to the 9th. Just go to their Facebook page. You can make a donation or get out there and help pack some of this food. It's just this little nutritional vitamins and rice that goes into this bag, and it's a team of four. So sign up and do that. October 6th, Monday's open mic at Daily Buzz. That's always a fun thing to do. Out at the Epic Events Center is Ask to New. Is that a band? Do you know what that is?
Not sure.
Me either. Nightmares at the Neville, that's going to be fun. Phantom of the Opera, that they're going to be talking about that. And that's at the Neville Museum. So call them and get a little bit more detail on what's going on. There's a women's leadership conference at the Rush Center. You want to maybe call them at the Rush Expo. So check that out. I mean, that could be some pretty interesting stuff too. And of course, and you guys have been plugging this on Civic Media. I think you've even talked about this on your show. Don't squeeze the Charmin. Did you have Frank on? I think you guys did, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And it's at the Meyer Theater, and that's rated PG.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. He definitely, every show that Frank puts on is just awesome. Yeah.
So that is October 9th that kicks off. So that one you got to go to. He is funny, and that is a great show, great seats. And I'm sure Pete's going to go to that because Frank is definitely worth seeing. So there's a lot going on this week. So we have to look up events that are going on here. It's, what is it? WGBW.FM. Okay. So you can look that up there, or there's some other things that you can look to find it out. So yeah, have a great week. Next week, we've got a great show next week. I think you're going to enjoy this. It's going to be a little bit different. We've got some students and parents coming in from Preble High School, and we're going to talk about gun safety. I know you're reading a lot about it from the police standpoint and some of the stuff from the school board, but we're going to hear it from these students. And I talked to a couple of them on the phone this week, and interesting perspective, a little different than I would have thought. And so we're just going to have a little discussion about how they feel when they hear about shootings in other schools, and from the parents too. I mean, what do we need to do? Are we doing enough? And so that's going to be next week, the Preble parents, the Preble students, about gun safety in our schools. And just thanks for joining us. If you have any suggestions, send them in. I will get the guests in here and we will talk about it here as we lean local here in Green Bay. Thanks for joining us. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.